Blog Talk Radio.
Communicate across. Welcome to another edition of the Sportsmonger Radio Show. I'm your host, Brian Steph, and along with me, as always, my partner in crime, Jason Havelka. We're brought to you, as always, by MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Go to their site right now. Actually, go to our site, dostnow.com, or sportsmongergolf.com, or any of our sites, and click on the ad on the top page of the banner. You'll see a pop-up. Listen to this. Myrtle Beach Golf Giveaway. Stay four nights at Seaside Inn Resort here in Myrtle Beach. Play four rounds of golf at Barefoot Resort. They have four courses there. Davis Love, Greg Norman, Fazio, Pete Dye, all designed courses there. You get to play all four of them. And they're doing a giveaway. You can win that trip. So go there now. Click on the ad on the top of our page or go directly to MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Jason, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Under the weather, but fantastic other than that.
Yeah? Sorry to hear that, buddy. Of course, you guys have been getting rain upon rain upon rain up there in Western PA, so...
My under the weather has everything to do with that, I do believe. It is merely just allergies, but it has crept down into my throat, and it is... been a struggle today, so no big deal. We'll come roaring back, as they say. Huh. Hey, and just like that, my partner in crime, Brian, absolutely dropped out. It's amazing to me how many times we go through this. And his phone, we just lose him. Or he comes on late, and it's all because of where he's calling in from. He's calling in from one of the most wonderful golf places on the planet. That's Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And he's calling from the Sportsmonger Lounge, but I haven't the slightest idea why we struggle so much with the audio from him. As soon as he tunes back in, we'll load him back up. No big deal. In the meantime, got some really nice, really cool announcements that we're excited about. And I'm sure he'll, want to talk about it when he gets back on here. But I do not mind rolling through this on my own. We're pleased and excited to announce the fact that we will be we'll be covering the U.S. Open, the Memorial Tournament, and very possibly the senior U.S. Open out in Columbus. So the U.S. Open this year will be played at Oakmont, local for me, in the Pittsburgh region. Oakmont's one of the very best places on the planet to play golf. It is so difficult. The rough is thick. Very difficult to get out of. I do remember the last time we came through. The last time the tournament came through, one of my favorite golfers now, Phil Mickelson, he took some good-natured ribbing locally. Sorry about that. I was texting. Brian's trying to figure out what happened. His phone dropped out. He has no idea. Anyways, this has been years ago, but before it starts, I'll make sure I dig up some audio of that. But Phil came out and said that he thought playing conditions were, it was dangerous. He's the only one that came out and talked about it. There were many that talked about how penalizing the tournament is and was. The rough is brutal. You get out into the rough, you have no chance. You're saving par at best. It's just the way it is. It's long. The greens don't hold unless it rains. We have had nothing but rain for the past two and a half, 3 weeks here in Pittsburgh. So at U.S. Open, we're a good several weeks away. So probably no issues there. Could dry up by then. This weather pattern may change, and again, it may not. So if it becomes, if it's a wet week, they can score a little bit. They're not going to score big, but they can score a little bit. But if it's not a wet week, oh, and it's dry and it's hot, God help them. Anyway, so we got that coming up, and we're going to bring one of those partners in crime that will be covering it for us. We'll be bringing him on the show fairly shortly. Actually, Zachary Weiss will be talking to us about first the Memorial, then the U.S. Open. He's going to have some help. We're going to have some video. We will have a lead-up podcast. I'm hoping to do a video shoot before. It will be available on YouTube and all the websites, DYST Now, sportsmongergolf.com, but mostly DYST Now. You'll see us over the next several weeks or months start to convert several websites over, basically merging them into DYST. Seems to be that website is blowing up. We have 500,000 to 1 million reads every single month. We have lots and lots of new material up every day. NBA action, hockey, baseball, football, it's all on there. So check it out. Also, we're going to be talking, as he started to tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about the PGA Championship. Hopefully he dials in here because he is the resident golf expert. And if he doesn't, this is just going to turn into a hockey podcast. So just enjoy it, hockey fans, if that's the case. The Pens and the Lightning both made it into the Eastern Conference Finals. The Pens won in Game 6 with an overtime goal by Nick Bonino. An amazing goal. It was nothing more than effort, more effort. But we'll talk about that more as the evening goes on. NBA playoffs you're starting to see some separation. You're starting to see things wind down a little. Last but not least, we'll probably get into a little bit of baseball if we have time. Especially if Brian cannot dial in, then we're gonna do some fallback material, which is preview what we got going on or coming down the pike. The Pens, the Lightning, and some news and notes of that ilk. Well, also, as I said, we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pirates. Because it looks like Brian's off the air. Yep, looks like Brian's off the air for the evening. It's not looking good. So, something? I'm going to roll right into it. We're going to talk Pirates to start. The Bucks are 18-15. Can't quite figure out what their identity is right now. They're a team that, gets on base a lot. At least that was their MO early in the season. A couple of the players that they counted on most have slowed up a little bit. John Jaso kind of, he was out to a very fast start leading off, and he has cooled off significantly, which is okay because what's going on now is you've got David Freese, who has been kind of displaced. He started the season at third base. Did a great job at third, batting 280, 290, knocking in runs, getting on base. He's doing it all for the Pirates, coming up with big hits when they need it, also. He kind of got displaced because Jung Ho Gun came back this week. And the Pirates have been waiting for this guy to come back from such a devastating knee injury. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know how he was going to come back. So comes back very first night. First pitch, he comes up with bases loaded. Nobody out. Hits into a double play. One pitch. This is after guys were getting walked and everything else. He looks at one pitch, hits that pitch, grounds out, double play, Pirates, no runs. Very next time he comes up to bat, two guys on base. Pops out this time. So he's left five guys on, seen two pitches. But he's at this point, he had taken some really he made some really nice plays on defense. So at least you knew at that point, brought his glove to the ballpark. And we all knew it was going to take time for him to get caught up. He had five hits and 45 at-bats in AAA. To say he was ready to come up, I'm not sure, but I think he was as ready as he was going to be at that moment. That next pitch, he comes up with a guy on base, hits a ball that sneaks over the wall. At that point, he has seen three pitches, one home run, two RBI. The very next at bat, after three pitches, solo homer. Upper deck, Busch Stadium, what used to be that. Absolute bomb, and he did it with one arm. Hey, it looks like he could be back. Is Brian back with us?
Oh, my gosh. Whatever the hell the storm is going on down here is just murdering my internet connection here. So I had to dial in. Sorry about that, buddy. Didn't mean to leave you hanging.
That's okay. I won't lie to you. I had fallback material, and I always revert back to Pittsburgh talk because that's kind of my forte. So, I'm always ready to go with that. And I figured whenever you dialed back in, we could transition back. So we will transition from the Pirate talk. And I had already announced to everybody that very cool announcement that we're going to be doing. We're going to have two guys on the grounds at Oakmont this year.
Yes, that's super exciting that we're going to have two people each and every day at Oakmont there for the U.S. Open. Super excited to be hearing from those two gentlemen and this coverage we've never been able to provide you guys. So we're pretty happy to do that. Pretty stoked. So that'll be coming up. And speaking of golf, the Players Championship, which a lot of people consider the fifth major, is going on right now. Down there at TPC Sawgrass. And Jason Day went out, number one golfer in the world, hasn't played in a while. All he did was go out, tie the course record, and shoot 63 today.
So, not a bad day's work.
No, not at all. Not at all. At a tough track that Sawgrass can be. As we've seen in the past, apparently conditions were were quite favorable today because there were a lot of low scores today. Jason Day, first day leader by 2 strokes over a handful of guys, Cameron Tringali, Shane Lauer, Justin Rose, Bill Hoff, Brendan Steele, all shoot 7-under. Ernie Els coming off the worst hole in the history of first holes of golf at Augusta, where he took the smooth 6-putt for a 9. Shot 6-under today, 66, along with Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger, and some other guys. So Jordan Spieth shot even. Danny Willett, Masters champ, shot 2-under. So Ricky Fowler, the defending champ here, I believe he shot 2. He shot, where's Fowler at? I think 2-under today. So, you know, these are some serious scores going off here at the Players, and we don't normally talk a whole lot of golf on here, but you know, when it's a tournament like this, you know, we always hit the big ones. I just want to get your thoughts, Jay. Do you have a horse this week? Do you have somebody that you like that you think is going to be the winner?
Fowler's even. By the way, Fowler's even.
Even. Okay.
He's even. One shot behind 40, however many year old Jimmy Furyk. Phil Mickelson's 2-under. I think you mentioned him. Do I have a horse this week? I really don't. I know everybody loves the Players Championship. Of all the non-major, major tournaments, I won't lie to you, it's my least favorite. And I don't even know why. Probably because, yeah, I don't even know why. But this week you could have any number of players. One of the reasons that this tournament is one of my least favorites is the guys I would figure, or I would think, have the better chance to score or play well in this golf course. They just never seem to, in my opinion. Guys that I peg, this guy's a dead ringer. He's built for this golf course, and he finishes 4-over and doesn't make the cut. And I, you know, year after year, I ran into this, so I just stopped figuring this tournament. Ryan Palmer, he's somebody that could stick around all weekend. You don't know, but he's somebody that could. He's 5-under right now. You don't know. Ernie Els is 6-under. You mentioned him after that hellacious starting hole, you know, the previous whatever. He's right now, I don't think he can string 4 rounds together.
I don't think
he could string 4 rounds together that made sense. Justin Rose is somebody that could score well here and do it consistently for 4 days. That Molinari,
you never know.
He's a scary guy on this course because he's somebody to me that could finish at 16 and win this whole thing, or he could miss the cut after a hellacious round tomorrow. So for my money, it's a toss up. Zach Johnson's got a game that could hang out this week because he's consistent, and consistency is important in this golf tournament. He doesn't have the length, which hurts him, but he does have the consistency. So is it enough? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you know, the amazing thing about the Players, and by the way, you not liking it, you're in the minority of golf fans, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it just is because it's sandwiched between, you know, the Masters kicks everything off. You know, there's build up to the Masters. I get all excited about that. And then there's a lull before the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is my favorite. That and the British are my two favorite golf tournaments of the year. The British because I love watching golf either early in the morning or late at night, or, you know, however it falls. I love it. Especially on the weekends. I mean, that's amazing to me. And I love seeing golf courses we just don't see all the time.
Right.
And the U.S. Open I love, and you know exactly why I love it, because year after year it's set up for failure. And I love a golf course that is absolutely set up to put guys in straitjackets by the end of the weekend.
Phil Mickelson
is one of my favorite players, and I remember him, and I told this story while you were off, you know, playing Tech Wizard. But there's a clip, and I'm going to have it for us for one of our next couple of shows. There's a clip of him talking about his round at Oakmont the last time through, and he was whining, and he's one of my favorite players, but he was whining that he thought the conditions were, how did he put it, and dangerous. Somebody's going to hurt themselves out there, that the rough is so deep.
I remember that. Let me tell you why the players don't like the US Open, because they are treated to the pristine conditions week in and week out on the PGA Tour. Anytime they are less than that, less than perfect, they complain, they whine, they don't like it. And that's another reason why the U.S. Open, the runs, is probably 1B, you know, is probably 1B to my favorites behind the Masters. Here's an interesting note that maybe a lot of people don't realize. In the Players' Championship, nobody has ever successfully defended their title. There's never been back-to-back winners.
That's not a surprise to me at all.
And you say guys you think should win don't always win. You're right, but there have been plenty of big names that have won this thing. Tiger's won it a couple of times. Kuchar in 2012, Sergio in 2008, Phil in 2007, Adam Scott way back in 2004, DL3.
I totally get that. The guys that you think that could make a run, for my money, don't always do it. They just don't always. The big names do, but the guys I think have a game that could play on that course. It's, I don't know, whatever. It is what
it is.
I'm in the minority, and I'm okay with the minority.
Yeah. But I think I like, of course, Jason Day running out in front like that. We can see another one of those times where he just looks back at everybody all week long, and he's the winner on Sunday. going into this, I didn't really have him tagged, but you know, I like Rory's been in the top 10 the last 3 years here, so you know, maybe it's time for him to make a move. You know, Adam Scott's been playing well. He's won it before. Sergio's the all-time leading money winner at the Players, so you can never count him out. But I don't know, Jason Day, if on form, you know, he may not give it up over the next 3 days. But as we're talking about that, I'm sitting here in the, as you like to call it, in the Sportsmonger Lounge. And I flipped the channel off the hockey game in intermission, and to see Oklahoma City eliminate San Antonio from the playoffs in the NBA Western Conference.
That's to me, that's one of the biggest surprises I've seen.
Yes. Here's my question. Is this the last we see of Tim Duncan?
No. I say it every year. I say it every year that Tim Duncan, you know, should retire, he should whatever. And every year he comes back, and Pop plays him less and less, and he still averages, what, 16 points a game, 12 rebounds, and whatever. He is probably, I don't know, he's one of the best players of our generation.
Oh,
that gets
our generation,
no Pop
for sure.
At all.
That's because his game isn't flashy.
It isn't flashy.
He's a turnaround 10-foot bank shot, jump shot.
Right.
That he hasn't missed since he was at Wake Forest.
No kidding.
So,
he was at Wake Forest in 1967.
Yeah. Here's the one thing that might make you lean towards. He may, and here's the only reason I'm going to throw this out there. I don't have a strong opinion either way. He was non-existent in the playoffs. Non-existent in the playoffs. In fact, against OKC, he was barely on the floor because he couldn't keep up with the pace and the lineup that OKC put out there. So he was actually on. He was actually non in the game a lot.
Right.
That's what makes me think that maybe he might realize that he can't help that team win a title anymore. So he needs to. He's won what four or five? He won what three or four titles there? I mean, it's no shame if he hangs them up.
I think they've won five.
Yeah, I mean.
They've won five.
Well, yeah, if you go all the way back to when Robinson, when they first won when he was younger, yeah, you're right. So there's no shame if he calls it a day for a career.
I mean, you know, they didn't win them. They didn't win those in like a five-year span. But over the past 20 years, I can't think of a more consistent, dominant team over that span.
Yeah,
you know, the Lakers
the
were really good for
sure.
A stretch, but it was 10 years. And you
know
what I mean?
That,
they have been consistent forever.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch because they're fundamentally sound. I mean, not so much this year, and I get that. But in years past, I mean, you know I'm not a huge NBA guy. I have no problem turning on the Spurs because I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
I'm going to get guys who play defense. Even in regular season, they're fundamentally sound. They make good passes. They make shots. They don't play around. I mean, it's quality basketball. It's just not flashy.
Now we're going to see the series that a lot of people wanted to see. Because it's a lot of big names. You got the Thunder versus the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And who's gonna outshoot who? And I don't think it's even close because Oklahoma City has Durant and Westbrook, and they're two of the top five players in the NBA probably.
Mm-hmm.
But Golden State by far is the best. It's so athletic as a team, and they play such good. Everybody talks about their shooting and how they shoot. They're one of the leaders in the league in defense as well. And
it's hard for me to support that, but I'll go with you on that one.
The stats are there, and I'm not a big NBA watcher either, but just go by the numbers, and they're one of the top five defenses in the league. You don't ever look at it that way or think of it that way because of the way they score, but they are. I said it early in the year. I think they're going to be that way. It's going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the finals again. And if Cleveland keeps shooting the three ball the way they did against Atlanta, when they go into this series against whoever comes out of the Raptors and the Heat, which, you know, the Raptors are up 3-2, I think it's going to be them. Cleveland will beat the Raptors in five games, and if not a sweep, and they'll go on play Golden State, and it'll be LeBron again, Steph again, and see how that turns out. Let's go back to what we know and what we like, and let's talk about our Penguins real quick for the last bit of what we've got left.
Real quickly, just you mentioned defense, and I just was able to do a little research in the 38 seconds that I had. Opponent points per game leader, what team led the league? Can you tell me?
The defense points per game?
Giving up least amount of points per game.
Cleveland.
San Antonio.
Yeah,
Golden State was
Oklahoma
11th.
City.
Huh?
So they dropped off a bit down the stretch.
Yeah, they finished 11th. They gave up 102.7 points a game. San Antonio, 90. And Oklahoma City was 97.8. They were 7th. Cleveland, 5th, 97.3. I mean, they're all pretty close. There's a 5-point drop-off between 2nd and 5th, though. I mean, Miami was second, Indiana third, Toronto, blah, blah, blah. So Golden State, the thing that makes them good is the fact they shoot. They shoot.
Yeah.
They can score as many points as you want to score. They'll just score more. So it's up to you.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yep.
Let's go to let's transition to a little hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Western Conference looks like it's going to be set here in probably about a half hour when this game ends. Third period just got underway in San Jose, 3-0. The Sharks are still up on the Predators, and I don't see that changing. They're going to win. So it'll be no kidding. Talk about letdowns in Game 7 in the NHL, which are usually awesome. And San Jose just scored again on the power play, 4-0. Yeah, you can change the channel on that. So you got San Jose and St. Louis will be going at it in the West, and I'm guessing with it being, they probably won't. They'll probably start Sunday, I would guess, maybe Saturday. And then you got Pittsburgh and Tampa, like we talked about earlier. Kickoff tomorrow night, Consol Energy Center in Pittsburgh. Presumably, Matt Murray will still be the goalie for the Penguins going into this series.
They're going to announce that. Mike Sullivan's going to – or Sully's going to announce that tonight or tomorrow morning.
I see that. I see zero reason to make a change.
Oh, zero.
Zero. If it was regular season, that's one thing. When your goalie comes back from injury, matter how long he's been out, you go ahead and put him back in. But the playoffs are a totally different animal. The Stanley Cup playoffs are different. You know that. Anybody that's a hockey fan knows that. How many teams that were definitely not the better team in a series have won because they rode the hot goalie? I can remember a time way back in the 19-somethings, 90s, where the Anaheim Mighty Ducks rode, what was the name, Jean-Sebastien Jaguar. They were the 8th seed in the West and won the Stanley Cup because he stood on his head for 2 months, 4 series in the Stanley Cup playoffs to win the cup for the Ducks, if you remember that. They were the 8th seed. So you can't change a hot goalie. You cannot, just because who was your number one guy, has been your franchise goalie, is now, cleared of his migraine symptoms or whatever, and he's ready to go. But Murray's been playing spectacular. You can't. He held the high scoring Caps in check. You can't.
He's played surprisingly well when you consider he doesn't know anybody in the league. You can watch tape all you want, but that's how he knows these guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any of the players he's going up against.
He's just playing on instinct.
And there's something to be said for somebody who doesn't understand how big the stage he's on.
Well, this season is eerily similar to the last time the Pens won the Cup.
Yep.
Playing god-awful first half of the season. Right around Christmas time, he dumped the coach, bringing a new coach, bringing some new players, younger guys. All of a sudden, everything clicks.
Yep.
And you freight train through the rest of the season. This is very, very similar to me. And you and I were together 2 weeks ago and watching, was it game two?
Mm-hmm.
Game three. And game three. And we both said Pittsburgh gets past Washington. They're winning the cup. I think St. Louis will have something to say about that because I think they are the better team between them and San Jose. And I believe St. Louis will be the team that will represent the Western Conference in the finals. But I just think Pittsburgh's been the best team since the middle of January in the league, and they're still showing it so far in the playoffs. And I don't see anything to change that. I certainly don't see Tampa Bay changing that.
Right.
St. Louis has been really good all year, though.
Well, and they're minus Stamkos, too. And there's something to be said for that. He's still battling through his very scary issues. You know, when you get a blood clot in your neck and you have to have surgery to remove a rib bone or something to release pressure. I mean, good Lord, there's no chance he's coming back in this series. I don't think there's any chance he's coming back in the playoffs. But it doesn't seem to bother him because this Tampa Bay team is fast. With the emergence of Kucherov and Tyler Johnson. Between the two of them in the last 40 games, they've scored 38 goals, tacked on an additional 35 assists in 40 games. They're not missing Stamkos right now. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
And
Bishop's playing great in the pipes.
Right.
Giving up under 2 goals a game. They won both series 4-1. You know, where the Pens won, you know, both. But 4-2, right?
4-2, yeah.
No, 4-1. They beat the Rangers 4-1.
Yeah, because they had an extra day.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think overall the matchup and the way – here's the thing. The Penguins have done this and really, you know, without Crosby and Malkin. I mean, Crosby's got a lot of assists. But
he doesn't really
big
have
– moment.
No, he doesn't really have many assists.
He's got 10. He's got 7 assists. The only person on the team with more than him is Bellino with 8.
That's throughout the playoffs, though. That's not in this past series. In this past series, offensively, the two of them, and you hear it locally a lot. I mean, you don't get this type of centralized coverage, and it's actually good. People outside the city get better coverage, I think, of the Penguins because – you know, when you live in that city, that's, you know, they get picked apart or they get boosted up way more than they should. This team is deeper than it's been in years, and it's because of the speed. And when you have teams taking out the first line, just eliminating, they're sending out their best, you know, 5 guys, and they're basically holding Sid down. And one of the reasons they're holding Sid's line down is because he's still paired up with Kunitz. And Kunitz really hasn't been himself.
Not a lot. I noticed the last couple of – he's been out there with Hornquist and Sheary. Sheary's been on Sid's line.
They're trying to infuse some speed into that line because, quite honestly – you know, all the scoring is coming from the third and fourth line, some on the second.
Oh, Kessel's line.
That's the third. I mean, technically, the third line.
Right.
So
Kessel, Hagman, and Bonino have been tearing it up.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was talk around here is, you know, whenever Malkin came back is, do you split that up? And, you know, I'm screaming into the radio, hell no, you don't break that up. It's the best line in hockey right now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the best line in hockey.
Yeah.
It's just the way I think of it.
If anything,
Kessel got hammered up here all season because he didn't score 40 goals. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody's hammering him right now. Because he's been nothing short of stellar game in and game out. Yeah, I think he's had a couple of stinkers, but
He got hammered early in the year. He didn't come out the gate firing and all the, you know, the trade, the big bells and whistles, and everybody was super excited. And he wasn't scoring.
Right.
But when they made their move in the second half of the season, he was a big reason because 80% of the points he scored this season were after January 1st.
Absolutely, and you pair that up with the fact that they put him on a line with Carl Hagelin, who is, in my opinion,
one of the biggest surprises on the team. And I don't, you know, he's not a team MVP, but I got to tell you something. If he wasn't on this team, they're not where they are right now.
No,
they're not.
Definitely not.
His speed paired up with Kessel's has made that line 100% better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's been the big difference is, you know, the Pens, you know, they're so deep. Every line they run out there can score on you. You know,
yep.
They're not the typical first line, second line, third line might score, fourth line the Doom Squad of the old days. That is nowhere near what the Pens got going on right now.
Nope.
And that is why I like them to win the cup. Now that they've got past, you know, what was quote unquote the best team in the, you know, the Hart Trophy winner. They had the most points. They were the best team in the league all year.
They were the best team in the league till the end of January. And actually, from January 15th on, the Pens led the league in points.
They did. I mean, but overall, I mean,
absolutely.
The Capitals never gave up that points lead. I mean,
goodness no. I mean, they had built up such a, you know,
yeah,
a ridiculous lead. It was, you know, unreal.
No, but you can't win the Stanley Cup in November.
That's exactly right.
You win it in May and June. Yep. So
your what's your prediction?
I picked Pittsburgh over St. Louis and I'll just throw out a number.
No, Tampa series first.
Tampa?
I think it could be
five games.
Well, consensus right now is six
five.
Games.
Well, six is easy
or,
to say,
or five or
wants
six
to,
games. And
nobody wants
I'm
to
gonna,
say seven.
I'm going to go out to seven because I am not convinced. They lost their last three games against the Lightning throughout the season. Bishop played well in two of them, I think. He got his first win against the Pens. In a game, the Pens gave up six goals. Tampa scored 15 goals in three games against Pittsburgh. Now, different team. We know that. They can score though.
Yeah,
they can score.
But again, they're missing their driving force, Stamkos, and seven. That's fine. Either way, no matter what the number is, Pittsburgh's coming out top.
There you go.
So I just preferred in.
I would prefer it
in
five, but I'd prefer it in five too. I just don't think it's going to happen. We got a minute and a half left.
All right, let's wrap this bad boy up. Sorry, folks, for the technical difficulties earlier. There's a damn thunderstorm going through here that crapped me out. But as always, we're brought to you by MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Like you said at the top of the show, man, click on the tab there on the top of our page, USGnow.com or SportsMonitorGolf.com, and sign up to win. You can four nights, four rounds of golf at Barefoot. Barefoot Resort, one of the best golf resorts on the East Coast. You got to try to get in on that and come down here and play. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our sponsors, Jason's favorite new golf club, Razor Golf. Go to RazorGolf.com, play award-winning clubs at work. The mutation, the carnivore, take your pick. Irons, hybrids, fairway metals, and drivers. High quality golf at low price, putting performance back in golf. It's Razor Golf, RazorGolf.com. This has been another edition of the Sportsmonger Show here on Blog Talk and on the DYSTNow.com and the Sportsmonger Network. For Jason, I'm Brian. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time.